I introduce today's Mass by saying we celebrate the conversion of St. Paul, a man who had been a messenger of death and became a messenger of life. What is it that happened in the life of the Apostle St. Paul? Well, it's interesting that St. Luke, the writer of the Acts of the Apostles, finds this story of the conversion of St. Paul so important that he tells it three times in the course of 28 chapters. The passage that Gary read to us is the second retelling of the story. In the first one, in chapter 9, St. Luke tells the story in the third person. He just explains what had happened to St. Paul. In the third account that happens in the 26th chapter, St. Paul is telling the story in the first person to a man named Agrippa, the king, his wife Beatrice, and Felix, who is the governor. And in today's telling of the story, St. Paul is telling it to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. Why is it that St. Luke wants us, the readers of the Acts, to hear this story three times? And I think at the heart of the answer is the process by which conversion happens. Conversion does not happen overnight, although we might get that impression from what we hear of the conversion of St. Paul. But there's a key verse I want to share with you from the third telling of the story. We didn't hear it in today's passage, but in Acts 26, when Jesus appears to St. Paul, he says something very interesting. He says, "St. Paul, why do you continue to kick against the goad? Why do you continue to kick against the goad?" Now, you might be saying, what is a goad? Good question. Let me answer it for you. In the ancient world, agricultural practice included the following. You had ox who were there to plow the fields. Sometimes the ox was very reluctant to do his work. And so the farmer would have in his hand a goad. A goad was a long implement that was blunt on one end and pierced on the other. And the farmer would use the goad in order to encourage the ox to do his work. And if the ox resisted, he would be kicking against the goad. And so the farmer would continue to press the ox. Now, why does Jesus use these words in relation to St. Paul? And here, I think, is the answer. St. Paul and Jesus were contemporaries. They would have been born around the same time. This means that through the whole of Jesus' public ministry, St. Paul, the Pharisee, would have been aware of him. Not only that, he was there to witness the martyrdom of Stephen. He was there to witness what was happening with the early church. But what did St. Paul do? He kicked against the goad. Rather than responding to the grace of Jesus, rather than coming to believe in him, he became more resistant and more aggressive in his attack of the Christians. You see, what had happened to St. Paul, at first he was a messenger of death. To the point, he said, in today's reading, he went all the way from Jerusalem to Damascus. Do you know how far that is? That would be like going from Calgary north of Edmonton, on horse and walking. And not only did he go that distance, but he said, I went that distance so I could arrest the Christians and then take them all the way back to Jerusalem where they would be tried and where they would then be executed. Remarkable that he, St. Paul, when he was Saul, would go to such length in order to persecute the church. And this brings into, I think, our understanding what Jesus says in today's gospel. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. You see, belief or unbelief doesn't just happen overnight. It's a process through the course of our lives. And we can become more and more embittered and turning away from the Lord. That's unbelief. And it leads to a condemnation, or we can turn to the Lord, and that leads to life and leads us into a relationship with Jesus where we want to proclaim him. Now, here's the remarkable thing. in the mystery of God, he encounters St. Paul in a most unique way. At the point when he's going to Damascus, he's just outside of the city, there is this encounter where Paul knows that this is the Lord. And then he says, "Who are you, Lord?" And remember that St. Paul is a Jew. The word Lord is the translation of the word Yahweh. I am who I am. And so St. Paul knows this is Yahweh. This is the great Lord. And then he hears the Lord speak, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Remarkable. In the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ, he so knew that this is the man that he needed. And think of the kind of conversion that would now happen for St. Paul, something that actually took him more than 3 years to integrate before he began to publicly proclaim the gospel. What does this all mean for us? Well, it's a realization that in a world like this, there are always ways in which the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to prompt people, maybe prodding them, poking them, wanting them to respond. And there can be so many times when people resist that. Perhaps you know of people in your own family that the more it seems that Jesus is prompting, the more they seem to be resisting. But we are to never give up hope. We are never to give up the pursuit of God and his love and his purposes. Because like St. Paul, we are called to be messengers of life. Isn't it beautiful when you read through the letters of St. Paul? Repeatedly, he refers to Jesus as the Lord of life. He, Saul, had been a messenger of death. But now, in becoming a messenger of life, we're told in today's reading from Acts what this will mean for him. Listen to these words of Ananias. "Brother Saul, regain your sight." In that very hour, says St. Paul, "I regained my sight and I saw him." That is, he saw Ananias. Then Ananias said, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear his voice." Do you know that that happens to us at every Mass? That we hear the Lord. We can know his will as it's proclaimed in Scripture. We see the righteous one in the Eucharist, and we hear his voice. And out of that, we, like St. Paul, are called to be witnesses to what we have seen and what we have heard. That is the mission of the church. And I think the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, is at work in the church today, helping us to have a greater insight and understanding that we are called to be these messengers of life. And that can only happen when we are in this deepening relationship ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as St. Paul said, "Coming to Christ, I've now been crucified with him. And it's no longer my life I'm living, but it's Jesus living through me." Don't we want that more for St. Peter's? This to be a community where Jesus is living through you, through me, through us. That St. Peter's is a community of life in a culture of death. As we understand this, and as we seek to apply this to our lives, we can then hear these words from the Catechism of the Catholic Church that says, "In faith, the human intellect and will cooperate with divine grace." Ah, that cooperation. And that's what came to Paul. There was this encounter with grace through Jesus' revelation that was absolutely convincing. But then St. Paul said, "I will cooperate with divine grace." And the Catechism goes on to say, "Believing is an act of the intellect, assenting to divine truth, moved by God through grace." May we, beloved community of St. Peter's, evermore discover in our lives what it is to give the assent of our intellect to the grace of God, and then in turn be a community of proclaimers who, through word and through sign, declare the one who is life, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We give you thanks, Lord God, for St. Paul, that in the economy of grace, you chose him and you brought him to conversion. May we, like him, be inspired to be messengers of life and to live evermore with the conviction of your lordship, your love, and your grace, Jesus, at work in our lives. St. Paul the Apostle, pray for us.